Getting wet never saved a person. Only the real cleansing power of being filled with the Holy Spirit purifies people, cleanse people, can actually get rid of sin. Hey, this is Andrew, the pastor of Ellick Southern Baptist Chapel. I want to thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I hope that you will join us soon. Feel free to contact us with any questions or with any needs, and we look forward to meeting you soon. So we've been working our way through John's Gospel, and last week we concluded, wow, that was only a week ago. It's been a great month this last week for me. Last week we concluded the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus said some pretty profound things to Nicodemus about the source of salvation and what it meant to have eternal life. He brought the conversation basically down to simple belief in Jesus as the only one who can deliver. A simple faith in Jesus as the only one who can deliver. Well, after his conversation with Nicodemus, we find Jesus baptizing people, or rather his disciples baptizing people. Now read with me. John chapter 3, starting in verse 22. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea. And there he was spending time with them and baptizing. And John also was baptizing in the Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there. And people were coming and were being baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. I must decrease, but he must increase. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. And the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, I think this is kind of a comical part of the scripture. I find great humor in this passage because Jesus finishes his conversation with Nicodemus, and he goes and he starts baptizing people, but really Jesus isn't the one baptizing people. People are being baptized under the rabbinic authority of Jesus. If you look ahead to chapter 4, verse 2, John makes that clarification. Although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, and they were baptizing in his name. Okay, this is not something we're unfamiliar with. We still use this kind of language today. For instance, if our nation has taken some worldwide global action in some other nation, you will often hear people say that the president is doing this, right? Even though we know the president himself is not over there doing this, it's being done under some kind of authority that's represented by the president. So the same type of language is being used here of Jesus, right? The disciples are baptizing, but it's still being said Jesus is over there baptizing, even though Jesus himself isn't doing the baptizing. It's being done under his authority. It's that kind of language being used. But somehow, Jesus' act of baptism, the baptism of Jesus, causes a dispute. Religious things don't cause disputes. Religious things, you know, people don't disagree about religious things at all in our society, do they? Not everybody agrees on everything religious and everything theological, right? It's 100% agreement across the board. No, there's a dispute that arises here between a Jew who apparently was there for the baptism of Jesus and is traveling and comes into contact with John's disciples who are practicing a different kind of baptism. The baptism of John seems to be a little different here from the baptism of Jesus. And this Jew who was there for the baptism of Jesus starts disputing with John's disciples about the meaning of purification, the source of purification, and whether or not baptism is required to be saved. That's not a new dispute in religion today. People weren't even being called Christians here. This baptism that's being practiced was a Jewish form of water baptism. And this dispute arises. Does baptism save us? And so John's disciples have to go and they have to ask John the baptizer about it. Hey, this guy Jesus, he's baptizing more people than you. He's teaching something different about baptism than you. And now there's this dispute. Jesus, what is it? John, what is it? Is your baptism the valid baptism? Or is this baptism of Jesus the valid baptism? What actually is necessary to purify a person? What is necessary to make a person clean? Now, I'm not unaware of some conversations and disagreements between denominations in our own society, between people in our own society. So as we walk through this passage of Scripture, I want to do so hopefully with a lot of humility and a lot of grace, because the Bible answers this question right here pretty definitively for us. It doesn't count water baptism as unimportant by any stretch of the imagination. Water baptism has always been important, will always be important as long as people are coming to Jesus and believing in Jesus. But this deals strictly with the question of whether or not water baptism causes purification in an eternal salvific sense. So John was baptizing in Aenon near Salim. Because there was much water there, of course, they had to baptize where there was much water. People were coming and being baptized. And in verse 25, we see, therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples with a Jew, apparently one who had just witnessed Jesus' baptism, about purification. And by this point in John's gospel, we're not unaware that Jesus' baptism would be different from John's baptism. In John chapter 1, verse 33, it's why we read the Gospels in order, right? It's why we don't start at a random point, because we need that context at the beginning, right? John chapter 1, around verse 33, John says, I baptize with water, but there is one coming after me who will baptize in the Holy Spirit. It will be a more important sort of baptism, not a water baptism, but a Holy Spirit baptism. And baptism, if you remember, is simply a word that means to be completely immersed in something. Baptism can refer to water baptism or Holy Spirit baptism or being baptized, immersed in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In the Bible, being baptized, immersed in the death and resurrection of Jesus, right? Baptism does not always refer to water. How many of you in this room, you get home in the evening and you like to have a little snack? All right, me? How many of you, your snack of choice is like some Tostitos and some cheese dip? Me? All right. Look, I know how unhealthy that is. I like the taste, all right? You just sit in front of the TV, grab some chips and dip, all right? Baptism is such a generic word that it could even refer to baptizing a chip in cheese dip and taking a bite, right? You really have to look at the context to see what any writer is talking about. And in the context of this passage, there are two types of baptism being referred to. The baptism of John in water, the baptism of Jesus in the Holy Spirit. Now that is signified sometimes by a water baptism, but the baptism of John is different from the baptism of Jesus. The question at hand here in this text explicitly is it water baptism that saves, or is it baptism in the Holy Spirit that saves? And so there is this dispute among the Jews. They're practicing a Jewish form of baptism here, and this debate was apparent even before the Christian church was established in any way. And they're asking John. And they said to John, this is verse 26, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. Here's what that kind of translates to, right? This guy thinks he's better than you. You came before him. You started this whole ministry, John the Baptizer. And this guy, Jesus, he thinks he's better than you. More people are going to him than are coming to you. Which is why I think this passage of scripture is particularly hilarious, because that was John's whole goal, right? His whole goal was to prepare the way for the Messiah. One was coming after him who is greater than him. More people should follow Jesus than John the Baptizer. But then there are the hardcore Baptists, John the Baptizer's followers. I'm not talking about modern day Baptists, okay? I'm talking about John the Baptizer's followers who get a little bit jealous about Jesus's ministry. He's baptizing more people than you. He's teaching a different kind of baptism than you. There's this debate that now has surfaced, and we're having to deal with this. John, how do you answer this? And in verse 27, John answers and says, a man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. So John the Baptizer, he's not offended. He's not threatened. He just recognizes ultimately God's the one at work. If so many people are following one person, that's God doing that. If so many people are following another, that's God doing that. And obviously, Jesus is from heaven. Nothing can be given unless it is from heaven. Now, this statement is also really significant concerning the topic of water baptism and purification, right? So specifically in the context of purification, what it takes to be clean, John saying no one can receive anything unless it is given to him from heaven means a lot. That purification, cleanliness, can only be given if it is given from the Father in heaven. No human religious work can achieve that, which is exactly the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus earlier, right? No religious work can do it. No religious ritual can do it. Purification can only be given by God according to his grace as a gift, not a result of your work whatsoever. Verse 28, you yourselves are my witnesses. I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. So of course, more people should go after him. Verse 29, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. Listen to the humility here coming from John the Baptist. I know I started this. I came ahead of the Messiah. And I know people who were following after me, I know they're now leaving me to go after Jesus. And John the Baptizer, instead of being offended, instead of turning around and saying, okay, now I have to correct. How can I get more people to follow me? How can I build my following? How can I build my ministry? How can I build my organization? I can't believe people are leaving me to go somewhere else, right? Instead of that, he says, of course they should go after Jesus. This is my great joy that they heard me, that they believed the gospel, and that instead of following after me, they're going after Jesus. I find great joy in that. What humility from John the Baptizer. And then we get to this very famous statement, he must increase, I must decrease. And first, I just find a great, for anyone who is in ministry or thinking about ministry or has any influence of any kind in this world. Look, the pattern from a worldly perspective is that we would do everything we can to put people in seats, to build up a single ministry, to build up a following, whether that's on social media or in person. This is a temptation of the world, and if that is ever our focus as a church, is just to get as many people as we can here, to build as much of a following here as we possibly can, I think we've missed the mark as a church meant to honor Jesus Christ, meant not to bring people to us or to build a following for some preacher, right? But instead, to share the gospel and to see people not come after us, to gather here to build one another up and edify one another. Yes, that's the point of church, but not to build a following here for ourselves. We want people not to come after us, but instead to go after Christ. So that's the first thing I notice here. The other thing I notice here specifically, since this is happening in the context of a conversation, a debate rather, about purification, where purification comes from and what the source of our eternal cleanliness is, that John is saying something very profound. My type of water baptism must decrease, and Jesus' baptism in the Holy Spirit, that must increase. That's what matters. Getting wet never saved a person. Only the real cleansing power of being filled with the Holy Spirit purifies people, cleanses people, can actually get rid of sin. Water washes what is outside. The Holy Spirit washes what is inside. That's what John is getting at here. And we talked about Jesus' baptism being of the Holy Spirit and John's baptism being of water, and John's now saying the Holy Spirit is what matters, right? Water baptism, it's a sign of what the Holy Spirit actually does on the inside. Somebody can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, not baptized in water, and still be saved eternally, okay? And then we see him double down in verses 31 through 36. He who comes from above is above all, that's Jesus, and he who is of the earth is from the earth, that's John the Baptizer. And he speaks of the earth, John the Baptizer referring to himself there in his own teaching. But he who comes from heaven, Jesus, is above all. What he has seen and heard of that, he testifies, and no one receives his testimony because most people would rather hear what is from below. Most people would rather be given a set of worldly religious rituals to do in order to think they're saved rather than actually trust in Jesus for the filling of the Holy Spirit, for this baptism in the Holy Spirit. In verse 33, he who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, that's Jesus. For he gives, and then he straight up verifies the baptism of Jesus over and above his own water baptism. For he gives the Spirit without measure. This is the baptism of Jesus. He gives the Spirit without measure. Now, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And he who believes in the Son has eternal life. There, he's not just doubling down now. He's repeating himself two or three times the same principle. No, it's not water baptism that saves a person. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then here even saying, those who simply believe in Jesus will be saved whether or not they have been baptized with water according to this Jewish ritualistic custom. He who believes the Son has eternal life. Not he who has been water baptized in the baptism of John has eternal life. He who believes in Jesus will have eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, for the wrath of God abides on him. And this conversation, y'all, is taking place in a strictly religious environment. And I know it's around the topic of baptism, water purification, where people are having this debate, but I think it applies to really all religious ritual, 100% of religious ritual across the board. Because we as people, we like to think and we're attracted to things that are religious because it makes us feel more spiritual and more connected to the divine. We can have a false assurance of salvation if we don't actually know Jesus personally, but practice all of the religious stuff. And we go to church, and we give a tithe or an offering, and we were water baptized, and we walked down an aisle and made some profession of faith. We can very easily fool ourselves into having a false security in what we think is salvation, when our salvation really comes down to what I have done rather than what Jesus has done. And Jesus is the only one who can baptize in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only one who can do that. And here's the promise for us this morning. That Jesus does this without measure. Okay. How many of you, look, I hope it's most people. How many of you try to budget your finances well? Okay. Try is the operative word. All right. We don't always succeed. All right. We try to budget our finances well. We try to spend what we have. And sometimes that means we have to not spend money so we can choose to spend money on better, more profitable things so that we can invest our money in the things that matter and provide for our families. Okay? Jesus is not this way with the Holy Spirit. We spend with measure. We give with measure. And with finances, we should. Okay? But Jesus is not this way with the Holy Spirit. Here it says, He gives freely without measure. Like when Jesus gives the Holy Spirit, He is so generous with the giving of the Holy Spirit that we can't measure how generous He is with the Spirit. That every person who receives the Spirit, regardless of religious works, receives the Spirit in fullness. The Spirit overflows in our lives. And the Spirit is all there. It's not this, okay, you've been saved, now you have to be filled with the Spirit kind of thing. No, Jesus gives without measure the Holy Spirit to those who believe in Him, which I think is a wonderful promise we receive in Scripture. Like if one has to receive the Holy Spirit to be saved and Jesus gives that without measure, then like really, really nothing else is required. And we believe in Jesus to get us there, and He gives the Spirit without measure, and He promises, I will get you there. Trust me to get you there. I will get you there. But then those who have not believed in the Son, who have not believed in Jesus, just like we saw in chapter 3, they will not see this kind of life. This kind of life doesn't make sense to them. Eternal life doesn't make sense to them. Life with Jesus doesn't make sense to them. But the wrath of God abides on them. And very specifically in the context of this debate that's happening around the baptisms of Jesus and John, it means those who have neglected actually knowing Jesus in favor of doing human religious rituals, the wrath of God abides on them. And there's only one way to accept the free gift of eternal life, and that's looking to Jesus in faith. But people across the board, from every religious perspective, and from many denominations within Christianity, they look to their religious works rather than Jesus, and we can't do both. We cannot serve two masters. We will always love one and hate the other. And we either love Jesus or we love what we can do. We cannot have it both ways. And so here's my challenge to you this morning. We're not going to have an invitation. We're going to hear from some of our students about Falls Creek. But considering this debate that is even happening as early as the first century, while before Jesus' crucifixion even, that our faith is in Jesus, not in our religiosity. And that we are not trying to build a following for ourselves, but we are pointing people to Jesus, the only one who can give life. And that it is our joy when people don't follow us because they are following Jesus, the only one who is truly worth following. Amen. We'll be right back.